Let's continue reading verses 1 and 2 of 2 Timothy 2. In these first two verses of chapter 2, we are exhorted to be strong in the Lord and to follow the model of a good teacher. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Once again, some background notes. The theme of 2 Timothy could be stated in a number of different ways. Individual responsibility in a time of collective failure. That would be one way to state the theme of 2 Timothy. Timothy was responsible to remain steadfast and faithful, even though others around him were failing. Even if the church did not remain pure, Timothy, you remain faithful. Faithfulness in the midst of fire and failure would be another way to state the theme of 2 Timothy. When Paul wrote 2 Timothy, Nero had already blamed the Christians for starting the fire in Rome, AD 64, and the Roman persecutions upon Christians have begun. Furthermore, already false teaching was beginning to creep into the early church, and some were falling away. So Timothy is challenged to remain faithful, even though there was persecution from without and some were falling away from within. Maybe the simplest way to state the theme of 2 Timothy, especially for today, would be hanging in there. Whatever happens, Timothy, persecution from without, false teaching from within, creeping in, failure of fellow believers, whatever, just hang in there. You personally be faithful and true and steadfast and dedicated. What a challenge to us. Remember, this is not just a letter from Paul to Timothy. It's God's word to us. Regardless of how you word the theme of 2 Timothy, the challenge to us is clear. Be a faithful and steadfast believer. Even though persecution may be painful and costly, and remember, persecution does not just have to be physical. Even though others around you may be falling away and doing their own thing, we are to remain faithful and steadfast. Here in chapter 2, Paul gives Timothy several models of the faithful Christian. The most well-known of the models are the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, verses 3 through 5, as we mentioned earlier. But there are other models here. In fact, I think we can find 7 models here. And in each model, there is a key thought which emphasizes one aspect of what it means to be a faithful Christian. In verses 1 and 2, we have the model of the teacher. And I think the key thought here is communication. A good teacher is a good communicator. And that brings us to our 2 doctrinal points, or 2 teaching points from these 2 verses. Doctrinal point number 1. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to faithful students. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to faithful students. Verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Notice that there are 4 links to the teaching process here. That is true apostolic succession. Stage 1. Paul received revelation from the Lord himself and passed it on to Timothy. Stage 2, Timothy received the things of sound doctrine from Paul. Notice, by the way, that it's in the presence of many witnesses that Timothy has received this sound teaching. The apostles did not have any secret doctrines. Timothy had heard from Paul on many occasions these teachings, this sound doctrine. Stage 3, Timothy was to entrust the sound doctrine to faithful students of the word. And stage 4, these faithful students were to pass on the sound doctrine to other faithful Christians. 4 stages to good communication of sound teaching, true apostolic succession. The key, you see, to this process is good communication. I think that's why the model of the teacher is used. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to faithful students. Note the phrase faithful men there in verse 2. The word used here for men is the word for mankind, so it does include men and women. The point here is that we should look for faithful Christians who can be entrusted with sound doctrine and will faithfully pass it on. The Lord Jesus preached to multitudes, but chose 12 disciples. He spent a lot of teaching time with them. We need to do the same. We preach to all. Timothy is told to be an evangelist, preach to all. But look for those faithful students that you can communicate with and trust sound doctrine to, and they will pass it on. You know, when I was working with the Young Life organization, that's a ministry to teenagers, we would have the weekly club meeting where our aim was to reach the unsaved kids. And then we would also have what we called a weekly campaigner meeting. This was basically a Bible study for the Christian kids. Then we started a discipleship program for those faithful Christian kids who wanted to get involved, not just in the fun and entertainment of the program, but they were hungry for the word and they wanted to teach others as well. So part of this discipleship program involved these Christian teenagers teaching others. That was part of the program. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to faithful students. Doctrinal or teaching point number 2. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to capable students. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to capable students. As teachers, we should not only look for faithful Christians, but faithful Christians who are capable of passing on the sound doctrine as they received it. I'm sure somewhere along the line, everyone here has observed a relay race in track. What's the most important point of a relay race? Pass on the baton without dropping it. You drop the baton, it's all over. I remember in high school, saw a relay race where the lead team lost it all because the baton was not passed on properly. Passing on the baton is the most important thing. Don't drop it. And that's really an illustration of the point here. A faithful teacher not only looks for faithful students, but capable students that definitely can receive sound doctrine and pass it on intact, unchanged, not diluted or distorted in any way. I'm thinking of one of my students right now. He's a wonderful Christian guy, a faithful Christian. But I must say that I'm glad the transmission of the doctrines of the Christian faith don't depend on this student. I'm afraid there'd be some garbled transmission. It's not because he's unfaithful or doesn't have the desire, but he has a hard time passing on the baton as it was given to him. Something always seems to be changed or missing or distorted in the feedback. As teachers, we should welcome all and teach all, but we should always be looking for those faithful students who are capable of receiving sound doctrine and passing it on to others without distortion or dilution or deletion. The transmission of sound doctrine should not be like the game of telephone. You know how that game works, right? I whisper something to Mickey over here, and he whispers it to Ellen, and on back you go. It comes out to Don in the back there. And is it the same or isn't it? You know, it's liable to be garbled. Sound doctrine is not to be passed on like the game of telephone. A lot more we could say. But once again, the point. Like a teacher, the faithful Christian communicates sound doctrine to capable students. Practical application. You never have to experience spiritual burnout. Now, maybe there's a Christian here this morning that's experiencing spiritual burnout. You don't have to. You never have to experience spiritual burnout. You know why? Because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says you don't have to experience spiritual burnout. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong or be strengthened. That's the idea. Paul tells Timothy, his younger son in the faith, to be strong, to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's not the idea of make yourself strong. No. Be strengthened in the grace that's there. It's available. All the strength you need, Timothy, is available. Just avail yourself of that strength and be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's God's word to us today, right now. You never have to experience spiritual burnout. There is a difference between physical burnout and spiritual burnout. And they do overlap in certain ways. Now, the key to not experiencing physical burnout, you can't do everything, all right? You can't burn the candle at both ends. But the key to not experiencing spiritual burnout is to avail yourself of the strength that is in Christ Jesus. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It's there. You never have to experience spiritual burnout. Now, I know that's a real danger for many of us, but all the spiritual strength we need to do whatever God calls us to do is available. All the spiritual strength we need to resist temptation is available, whether that temptation be in the area of the flesh or materialism or whatever. Dad's here this morning. You have the spiritual responsibility to be the spiritual head of your household. You can do it because all the spiritual strength you need is available to do what God calls you to do. Mom's here this morning. You have the spiritual responsibility to be a godly wife and mother. You can do it. Even though it's very hard at times, you can do it because all the spiritual strength you need is available. Be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember, you never have to experience spiritual burnout.